Father, again, we thank you. We pray that this morning you anoint our eyes to see, anoint our ears to hear, and anoint our heart to understand. We give you the praise and glory, Lord. We know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding, light for us to see, the understanding that comes into our heart. So let it be even this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome. And this is day 4 of our kingdom series. We have been talking about a number of things, and we'll keep going as long as the Holy Spirit says so. We got to do this kingdom series in depth. That's the idea, in depth. So if you missed any part of either the entire or part of a lesson since we started this series, we invite you to check out the replays, and we know that you will be blessed. Understanding the kingdom with a deep dive is where we started. We talked about, give an introduction and so on. We've also talked yesterday about the ministry of Jesus Christ, what he tried to do in terms of introducing the kingdom, and also, instructing his disciples to go out and preach the kingdom and so on. Today, I want to talk about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's what I want to talk about today. And why is this important? Well, because Jesus, the disciples, and the early church, they did this. And so we're going to look at scriptures today. Again, this is a Bible study, not too much of a preaching today. So we're going to take our time, go into the scriptures, and there may be a lot of references on here this morning, and we'll take our time to go through. So let's look at what the preaching of the kingdom might mean. What might it mean? And then let's see how people did it and who did it in the Bible. The first thing that I want to say about that is that, well, among many things, it means preaching the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Consider the concept of a salesman or a salesperson that's trying to persuade people to buy something that they are offering. Except that in this case, the Lord commands us to give out this offer freely. Now, the offer is for people to come into the kingdom. That's the offer. But we got to give it out, freely. And we need to be trained on how to do this. Every salesperson is trained, on how to try to make the person they're talking to buy their product or whatever it is they're offering. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, someone stood at the front door. I actually thought it was someone else because I was expecting someone. So I kind of opened the door a little bit, not the full door. The other gate was still in front. I said, oh, and he started to talk. Usually, I don't have time to listen to too much of those salespeople. But I thought I would just listen to the guy because it was a young man, handsome looking. And I said, okay, well, let's hear what he wants to say. And actually, he made a very good sales speech. Well, unfortunately, I wasn't buying. But, he made a very good sales speech. And, he had reasons. He told me why he was there and why they are running this campaign. and what it is that he would like me to consider. And he said, look, we'll do all of this, we'll give you this, and so on and so forth. We only ask this in return. He made a good, and I saw that he was well-trained. I mean, it was like he was reading from a script, but he was speaking very well. You know, and, I thought about that, and I said, wow, yeah, that's really good. You know, now, those of us that are commissioned, and all of us are, really, you know, if you are coming into the kingdom, you are commissioned to also share the same. Yesterday, we talked about being born again as the gateway to the kingdom, to entering the kingdom. But that's what Jesus said when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, so we see that to enter, you must be born again. So that makes the born again experience the doorway into the kingdom. Yeah, so, you know, in order for us to ask people to come into the kingdom, then basically, really, you know, we must, you know, show them that they need to be born again. Now, to be born again, what does that all mean? I'm sure that most people know here when we talk about giving our lives to Christ, you know, turning a new leaf, becoming new in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 gives us a synopsis. If any man is in Christ, it's a new creature. You know, say all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, so there's a new life in Christ. Now, as far as why should the person be interested in what you are quote unquote offering? I don't want to say sell because we're supposed to be free. So what are you offering? We're going to see how Jesus did it, how the disciples did it, how the early church did it. And, you know, let's start with Jesus. Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, when he started his ministry, we're told that from that time, you know, after all of the temptation with the devil and all that stuff, after that time, he began to preach. And what exactly was he preaching? Well, those are the things that we want to discover. And he says, you know, although some of these writers, sometimes they summarize what they are writing, sometimes they go into detail. Here, all we are told was that he began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, for people hearing him for the first time, hearing that statement out of his mouth, they might not know what kingdom of heaven means. You know, so everybody knows what heaven is, but what's kingdom of heaven? I mean, it seems like an abstract thing. I mean, how am I going to wrap my mind around that? Everybody should know what repent means, you know. The Lord was always talking to the children of Israel about their ways, amend your ways, and all of these things. People like Jeremiah and all these prophets came and told them, you know. So, you know, they knew what repentance meant, but they might not have known what the kingdom of heaven meant. Well, they knew what a kingdom meant. At this time, they were under the kingdom of Rome, so to speak. So, you know, and they, all of them in their minds were thinking that at some point, especially the scribes who used to tell them, that, you know, well, Christ will come and, you know, restore all things and establish and restore the kingdom to Israel and so forth. So sometimes they would ask him, well, you at this time will restore these children, I mean, the kingdom unto Israel. So, but when you talk about the kingdom of heaven, you know, most people couldn't really figure out what heaven is like. Because, you know, since we live here on earth, we only hear of heaven. You've never really been there. So it's kind of hard to figure it out. You know, so that's what we're going to try to discover or rediscover in this series, what it means. You know, so, but that's what Jesus started to say. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And by saying that, which means it's right around the corner or is here. You know, at hand could be something that's, you know, presently with you. Or it could be something that is right around the corner. However you interpret it, Jesus was introducing the people to the concept of the kingdom of heaven. Now, we've talked about kingdom. A kingdom is a territory. Most of the time, the way we understand it, it's also physical territory. You have a king that has a domain or some territory over which he bears rule and brings his influence. So, and that's called his domain. So his kingdom is the king's domain. And so we get the word kingdom out of that. He has his territory and he has, you know, a place where he bears influence. And if they were, the sovereign kingdom acquires other territories, then, you know, they might call them colonies and things like that. The idea would be that the main kingdom would try to bring their influence to bear on their, I mean, to bear on their colonies. And so in those colonies, the idea would be that they would learn principles of the kingdom under which they are now subjected to rule, I mean, to be ruled over, and they must learn it. They must learn the culture, must learn the behavior. In the days of the kingdom of Rome, there was actually a good model in that sense, because the other kingdoms, when they colonized a place, they carried people away captive. But when Christ came during this time, the kingdom of Rome did not carry anybody away captive. Babylon and the rest of them carried them away captive into, you know, Babylon. And you saw the stories in the Bible, even people like Jeremiah, telling them that, look, you need to submit yourself to the king Nebuchadnezzar to carry you away. If you let him carry you away, you will leave. But if you stay in this place and you refuse, you will die. You know, and so they were always carried away. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego carried away. Esther, the rest of them carried away. Mordecai, Ezra, Nehemiah, all these people were in captivity. They were carried away from their own homeland. And many times they desired their own homeland and so on and so forth. Now, when Rome came upon the scene, they didn't carry anybody away. They just brought their own government and installed their government in place. Now, so that was a good model of what Christ was trying to bring. Not carry anybody away to anywhere, but install your own government to bear on the people. Install your own rules, your own culture, your own way of doing things, you know, and, you know, let people learn the new ways. That's what Rome did. And everybody needed to submit to Caesar. You needed to pay tribute to Caesar. You needed to do all of these things. But they were not carried away to Rome. They were right there. But they brought their own governors. They brought their own tetrarchs. They brought their own administrators. Bear over the people. You know, so it's interesting that Jesus would come during such a kingdom. Now, of course, the kingdom was wicked. But, you know, so, but at least he had the model of, look, of what Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 15, that, look, Father, do not carry them away to heaven, you know, but let's install something in them right here, you know, protect them from the evil, and they've got a job to do, but don't carry them away to heaven. That was the prayer of Jesus. So when Jesus was preaching the kingdom of heaven, even though this particular verse did not explain to us exactly what it meant, we can begin to look into other verses to see what it might mean. Likewise, also Mark chapter 1 verses 14 and 15 talks about Jesus also when he started his ministry. So at least in these two places of the four gospels, it calls out how that Jesus, when he started his ministry, how that he began to preach the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. You know, so Mark 1 and verse 14. Mark was one of the, it was a gospel writer that jumped right into things. You know, he didn't do too much of a preamble. Jumped right into, you know, many things. So now he said, look, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, you know, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye therefore and believe the gospel. You know, so now that's a good insight, you know, onto what we are trying to look here. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. That means something that we've been waiting for is now here. So this gives us a better understanding of, you know, what Jesus was trying to introduce. And well, for you to get there, you have to repent. And you have to believe the message of the gospel. So this is how Jesus started. And he also, so we see Jesus as three categories of people that we want to look at. How, you know, they preached the gospel of the kingdom. This is Jesus preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What about his disciples? Well, Jesus also sent out his disciples to preach the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, which we have read a few times during this series, Jesus would send out his disciples to preach the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And here's how he puts it in Matthew chapter 10. You know, he said, Jesus sent the 12. You know, we were told earlier in the chapter how he called his 12 disciples. And he gave them power against unclean spirits and to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. And then we're given the names of all these people. And then, you know, we are about to see what Jesus, you know, commanded them to do. He said, look, you know, don't go into the way of the Gentiles, at least not just yet. Any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember, that was the first order. First, you tell the son, go. And if he says, I'm not going, then you go to the second son. So Jesus himself told that parable. We'll get to some of his parables later. But and he said, as you go, this is Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the same thing that Jesus was preaching, was asking the disciples to preach the same thing, or actually commanding them to preach the same thing. It's a commandment. Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At this time, they were introducing the concept of the kingdom of heaven. You know, and these people have been under other kingdoms, ruled by other kingdoms. But Jesus is introducing something new here. And he said, look, as part of your, you know, ministration to the people, as part of your mission to demonstrate what it looks like, you remember, sending them forth as salespeople, trying to offer something to the people. You got to make it attractive. Why should they care about what you are offering? Well, that you can offer them some things which the kingdom that they are in right now cannot offer them. The kingdom they are in right now cannot heal their sick. The kingdom they are in right now cannot cleanse their lepers. The kingdom they are in right now cannot raise the dead. The kingdom they are in right now cannot cast out devils. So you go out there. So Jesus, he called them and he gave them power to do these things. And he said, look, you go out there. You do these things. And then the people will know that there is something about what you are offering. If you just come out there and you're just saying, well, repent and believe the gospel and the kingdom of heaven is here. If you're not offering them anything, your life doesn't look any different. You don't have any power, you know. You might not even sway the people in any direction. But if you show some power, kingdom of God is not just in word, but with power. If you show some power, you come in here, you heal the sick. I mean, you do all these things. Back then, maybe it was lepers that needed to be cleansed. Today, it might be cancer that you need to heal. You know, maybe you heal the cancer, you do these things and so forth. Now people, you're going to get people's attention. So Jesus was showing them, look, this is how you get their attention. You know, you bring deliverance to their for, you know, for their needs and so forth. But Jesus is saying, as you are going out trying to get people to buy, quote unquote, what you are offering, remember, you must offer it freely though. Freely you offer it. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, these sales people, like the one that stood at my door yesterday, he wasn't offering anything freely. I had to buy some things. Now, they threw in a few things which they thought might interest you. Well, if you buy this and if you let us put a sign in front of your house that we are the one that did this with your house and this, we'll offer you this, we'll offer you this, but you got to buy this and you got to buy that. So they're trying to sell something. Well, but Jesus said in this case, you know, don't be like those other people. You know, you, in your own case, you quote unquote sell this thing freely. You got to sell it freely. You can't charge the people for it. Remember, freely you have received this thing. I gave you this power. I gave you this understanding freely. You didn't pay for it. So give it to the people as well freely. Now, that's the way that Jesus commanded the gospel of the kingdom to be preached. Now, any other gospel that is being preached, whether they claim to be gospel of the kingdom or not, that are trying to charge the people for these things, well, that's not what God commanded. That's not what Jesus commanded. Freely you have received, freely you give. Now, we're going to talk about that, you know, in a bit more during this lesson. Let's look also the way that Luke reported this thing. In the book of Luke, chapter 9, and I hope you're taking note of these scriptures, because I call it a Bible study here this morning. The book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, here's how Luke reported the same commission that Christ initially. He said, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure all diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So now two gospel writers have reported the same thing. But Luke brought another aspect here. You know, don't take anything. Don't take staves. Don't take scribe. Don't take money. Don't do this and do that. You know, he told them some other things. In whichever city you enter, you know, they receive you, abide there, and so on. You know, but we see that he told them to go and preach the gospel. And they departed. Luke chapter 9 and verse 6. They departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Yeah, so the preaching of the gospel that is not accompanied with healing the sick and all these things, well, is incomplete. You know, this is what we must learn. That, you know, if you are in training and learning how to do something, well, this is your curriculum. We need to learn what preaching the gospel is, and we need to learn what accompanies it. You know, the part that we speak and the part that we do. Because according to Acts chapter 1 verse 1, which I continue to quote, in this series, it's important because it talks about the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So while we are teaching people to repent, to give their lives to Christ, and so on and so forth, come into the kingdom, we must do some things that make this offer attractive, like healing their sick, you know, and maybe cancer, maybe whatever. We will raise the dead even. This is what Jesus said. You know, cast out devils and so on. You know, and if we're not doing that part, then that gospel is incomplete. Now, so that was Jesus. And that was the earliest disciples that he gathered. What about the early church? Did the early church also preach the kingdom of God? Well, let's take a look. We've seen how Jesus did it. We've seen how, you know, told his disciples to do it, and they went and preached it everywhere and healed everybody everywhere, you know. So we saw, and we know that in Luke chapter 10, they came back, you know, after they were commissioned and sent forth in chapter 9, they came back in chapter 10 and told the Lord, said, Lord, would you believe it? Would you know it? Would you know it? And they were excited. Did you know that even the devils were subject to us? We commanded them and they came out and the people recovered. They were so excited. They came back and reported to Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, I know it. I even saw the devil, you know, fall down from heaven as lightning. You know, and remember what I said to you before. I gave you power. Now I'm going to tell you again. I'm giving you power over all the power of the enemy. He began to tell them. Luke 10 verses 18 and 19. And he said, look, you can tread on serpents, you can tread on scorpions, you have power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. He began to tell them. He said, but I'm going to tell you something else too. Don't be carried away with the fact that devils were subject to you. That's not the thing that should excite you. What should excite you is that your names are written in heaven. My goodness. Now, let me talk a little bit about that. What are the things that excite us today? When we hear the preaching of the gospel. Or what kind of preaching of the gospel is preached today to excite us? Well, number one, prosperity. You know, if you really want to get the people to shout the victory, and you really want to get a service moving, you begin to speak on how the Lord's going to prosper them. Yeah, you can get a lot of hallelujahs. When you begin to preach a message that cuts, you know, that talks about your repentance and walking in the truth and righteousness and so forth, and, you know, giving up all the works of the flesh and come out against those things. You begin to come out against fornication, adultery, and all of these things. You will hear almost a pin drop. Everybody be quiet. You know, but the things that excite us today are these other things, you know, that deal with, you know, carnal things, if I can call them that. But Jesus, when he was telling Nicodemus how you can get in the kingdom, he said, well, until you're born again, you can't even enter the kingdom. You know, but you can get all these other things without being born again. You can have affluence. You can get a new car, a new house. You can get material things. You can get promotion. You can get all these things. You know, the things that, you know, Jesus said, look, these are the things that the heathen are seeking after. We can get all these things without being born again. You know, so all those things do not constitute, you know, being born again. And it's not a reflection that you are born again. Sadly, when people see people who are affluent, they see someone that's doing well, they say the Lord is blessing him. That's true. The Lord is blessing him. But that doesn't mean he's walking in righteousness. You know, that does not equate to, you know, being in right standing with God. Because you can have all those things and still not be in the kingdom. Now, until you are born again, you cannot be in the kingdom. So all the things you acquired without being born again has nothing to do with entering into the kingdom. And so people look at those things and think that, oh yeah, you know, God must, you know, really be with him. You know, I mean, he must really be in good standing with God because God is blessing him. Well, God is blessing him for sure. But whether he's in good standing with God, that's a different story. By their fruit, sir, you will know them, Jesus said. So we see that Jesus taught his disciples to do it and they did it. Now let's see how the early church did it. You know, so we're looking at how this thing started out. First with Jesus, then his disciples, then after his resurrection and ascension, then the early church. But let's see how they did it. We're going to look at several scriptures in the book of Acts, how they did it. First one here is Acts chapter 8. In the book of Acts chapter 8, the story about Philip, who was one of the deacons, the seven that was ordained to serve tables and to take care of the widows in the daily ministration. You know, so Philip was one of them. Stephen was the other. So Philip, he went down to Samaria. You know, he would do his job of ministering to the widows. But then he would also go out and do stuff. Now, take a look at how people who are in the kingdom and understand the kingdom, how they function. The apostles said, We cannot leave the Word of God and start serving tables. You know, we need to give ourselves to prayer and to the preaching of the Word. So therefore, choose ye yourselves 7 men full of the Holy Spirit. You know, men of truth, men of caliber, men of integrity, but full of the Holy Spirit, that we may appoint over this duty. But as for us, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the preaching of the Word. It's a good thing. You know, so they chose 7 of them. Stephen and Philip and 5 others. Now, this Philip, in the book of Acts, you know, chapter 8, he went down to Samaria. And let's look at what we're told that he did. You know, so in the book of before we even get to Philip, you know, there were many people that were scattered because of the persecution of Saul and others. You know, Saul was there consenting to the death of Stephen, you know, in the previous chapter, chapter 7. And, you know, all of these people, because of that persecution, they started going to different places. They were scattered away from Jerusalem and scattered to other places and so forth. You know, and this man, Philip, he went down to the city of Samaria. Let's read from verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Philip also, he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and so on and so forth. Now, part of the things that Philip was doing was casting out devils and working miracles, because they said, look, the people gave one accord. With one accord, they gave heed unto the things that Philip spake. Why? Because they heard and they saw the miracles which he did. They were hearing about it. So this is what gets people's attention. Just standing in the corner and preaching the gospel may not get anybody's attention. Maybe there some people will listen, but you know, if you want to get some real attention, well, heal some sick. Cast out a few devils, you know. And then, so, because he says here, unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many that were taken with palsies, paralysis, and different things. They were healed. Lame were healed. And things like that. I mean, this was a man who wasn't even one of the apostles. But he understood kingdom concept. And he went out there, and there was great joy in that city. Now, we are told, you know, how some of the things that he also preached. Now listen to these in, you know, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, then they were baptized, both men and women. So this is how Philip converged his preaching. The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he was preaching. And healing the sick and bringing miracles. Now the people yielded with one accord. And there was great joy there. You know, because their lives were impacted for good. It wasn't just academic preaching. He was demonstrating the kingdom with power. And he was preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now we're going to look at what are those things concerning the kingdom of God in this series. But today I'm just showing you how these people in the early church preached these things about the kingdom of God. This is what they did. Now, that was Philip. And you know, he turned that whole city right side up. And a lot of people, you know, got saved. Even when they were saved, people said, wow, we got baptized. Later on, the apostles even came down, started praying for the people, laying hands on them, they received Holy Ghost. There was tremendous happenings in that place. But we're told that he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, so that was Philip. Well, let's look at a few other places. What about Acts chapter 14? Let's read verses 21 and 22. I'm showing here how during the early church, they also preached the things concerning the kingdom. You know, now, so this is how they preached back in the day. But, you know, something has been lost by the time we get here. In Acts chapter 14, Let's read verse 21. You know, and when, you know, they had, this is Paul and his company that were with him, you know, Barnabas and so forth. You know, they, in Acts chapter 13, you know, the Holy Spirit had said, you know, that, you know, we're told that in Antioch, there were some group of prophets and teachers that ministered to the Lord and so forth, Barnabas and Paul being among them. And while they ministered, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me, Barnabas and Paul, for the ministry that I have unto them. And so after they had prayed and laid hands on Barnabas and Paul, they sent them forth. And these Barnabas and Paul, they went and did many things, went into different places. Now, here's an account of some of the things, you know, that they did. You know, they got to this place called Lystra, right? You know, there was a man that was impotent in his feet. He was a cripple from his mother's womb. He had never walked. Now, let's see how these disciples preached this gospel of the kingdom. The same man, when he heard Paul speak, looking steadfastly, beholding him. This is Acts chapter 14, verse 8. Now verse 9. And perceiving that Paul looked at him and he saw that the man had faith to be healed. So Paul, he said with a loud voice. Now, Paul is not going to pray this prayer in the secret. You know, in case it doesn't happen, nobody knows what I did. No, he's going to say it boldly. You know, stand upright on thy feet. Woo-hoo. And the man, remember, go and heal the sick. And the man got up, he leaped and walked. Wow. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices and said, you know, in their own speech, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul, they called Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And then, you know, the priest of Jupiter and all their people, you know, they brought, you know, oxen and pigs and different things and tried to make sacrifice to these people because they are the gods. Which when Barnabas and Paul heard these things, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people and scarcely prevented them from doing this thing. Sirs, why do you do these things? Now, these people, they didn't care for the credit. You know, they said, look, we are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vain vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the things and so forth, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Now, well, he did not leave you a witness, though, you know, in that he did good things, filling our hearts with food and gladness and saying all these things. And, you know, with all of these, they scarcely were told, very scarcely, they stopped the people from making sacrifice unto them. And then they continued to preach the gospel in that city and taught many, verse 21. And then they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them, continuing the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So they were still talking about the kingdom of God. With all those miracles, still talking about the kingdom of God. But miracles was a part of the ministration of the apostles. You know, even Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, you saw how that they healed the man at the gate, the temple and so forth. And when people were saying things and being amazed, they immediately said, look, why do you think we did these things? Not in our own power, but the name of Jesus, through faith in the name of Jesus, has given this man this perfect soundness in front of all of you. Now, this is how they did it back then. Always giving the glory to the Lord Jesus, you know, and not taking any glory to himself. But they were always preaching the things, telling them how with tribulation, must enter in the kingdom. There was no sugarcoating of the kingdom of heaven here, or the kingdom of God. Nobody was saying, well, you know, once you give your life to Christ, everything's going to be hunky-dory, and there will be no more problems. They were saying, look, you must, even they use the word must, you must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. You want to enter in the kingdom? Well, fine. you will enter in the kingdom, you know, and so forth. This is what you need to do. But know that it's going to come with a lot of tribulation. This is how they preach the gospel. This is how they preach the kingdom. You know, they did not sugarcoat anything for anybody. And so we see how they did it in the early church. Well, let's look at a few more examples. In Acts chapter 19, Paul also, you know, after, you know, he went through all these journeys, he came to a certain place and he found these people who are disciples. And when he saw them, he began to question with them and say, hey, you know, how you all doing? And so forth. You know, and then he fellowship with them again and saw that, you know, say, hey, you know, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they began to tell him. And he spoke with them and everything. When he introduced the Holy Spirit to them, these were believers this time around. You know, and then they said, well, we've only heard about the baptism of John. So after they were baptized the Holy Ghost, many of them began to speak with tongues and so forth. You know, and the people that Paul ministered to were about 12. So let's pick up this story in Acts chapter 19, verse 7, sorry. And all the men were about 12. And then Paul left the place and he went into his synagogue. So now he left the believers and is going to go into, you know, just regular people now. All these people coming into the synagogue, they were not believers. They were not really saved, you know, churchgoers. So he went there and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. And this was his ministration. This was his teaching. This was his preaching. Or preaching the kingdom of God and persuading things. Now, this is what the kingdom looks like. It's how we do things in the kingdom. You know? So the things that they were preaching and so forth. And they're preaching that, look, the kingdom is not easy. Take up your cross for the Christ. You're going to have many tribulations. But if you want to be a part of the kingdom, there are benefits. But, you know, it's all the things that you have to, you know, deal with as well. But they were preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. And what things concern the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus described it in Matthew chapter 6. He said, look, all these, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Wherewith shall we be clothed? What will we do tomorrow? He said, all these things are not kingdom. You know, but you must seek the kingdom. Next, I'm going to talk about what it means to seek the kingdom. But he was talking about, look, you got to seek the kingdom. So all of these eating, drinking, wearing, doing this and that, that's really not kingdom. He said, look, all the heathen of the world, the Gentiles and the people that don't know God, these are the things they seek after. You know, but you must seek. So when the disciples and the early church were talking about the kingdom of God, they were pointing things to, you know, such things like Paul would write in Colossians 3, let your conversation, your affections be set on things above, set on the things of the kingdom, not on things of the world, and so forth. I always pointing things, you know, people to, you know, the things concerning the kingdom. You know, let's look at a few more places where, you know, the early church preached about the kingdom. In the book of Acts chapter 20, we read verse 25. Again, many of these stories surrounded Paul and a few others. You know, so in the book of Acts chapter 20, you know, Paul is talking about them here that, look, I know, you know, the day that I've been here from the first day that I came to Asia, you all know what manner of man I've been among you and so forth, with you in all the season, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and in all the things that befell me, he told them. Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. And you know how I've kept back nothing that was profitable to you, and I've showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. And these are the things of the kingdom. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit hath told me that in every city there waited for me bonds and afflictions. But none of these things move me, he said. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. That's what he said. And they said, I've been preaching the kingdom of God. You shall see me no more. So there's a reference in that verse 25 to him preaching the kingdom of God. And he said, look, I will take you to record this day, pure of the blood of these people and you and all men, because I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. That's the kingdom of God that he was preaching. So we see that the early church did the same thing. Now, likewise, finally, towards the end of the stories that were written about Paul in Acts chapter 28, the last two verses, you know, there, he also talks about, you know, after all the things that Paul had gone through and so forth, gone to Rome and made the appeal to Caesar and all these things. So in Acts chapter 28, we are told here in the last two verses, you know, he said, look, well, let me just read it from verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles that we hear it, because those people would not hear it. You know, so he told them that, look, Isaiah told you things like this, you know, hearing you will hear and seeing you will not understand and so forth. The heart of these people is wax cross and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed and they should hear, lest they should hear or see and be understand with their heart and should be converted. Remember, we've been talking about hearing, seeing, and understanding. So he told them that, well, because you guys have, you know, you refused the Holy Ghost, well has Isaiah spoken about you. But now we turn to the Gentiles. Remember, Jesus told the parable. A father had two sons. He told the first one, go and walk in my field today. And the man said, I'm not going. The young man said, I'm not going. So because he said, I'm not going, then he turned to the second. If the first one had said, I was going, he wouldn't have turned to the second. He just needed one person to go. So, but the second, because the first one said, I'm not going. So he told, well, your brother said, I'm not going. What about you? He said, well, I'm going right away, sir. But he didn't go. You know, but the one that said I wasn't going afterward repented and he went. And Jesus said, well, which of these two did the father's will? So that's the story of the Gentiles and the Jews. First, the gospel came to the Jews. Jesus said, don't go to any house of the Gentiles or the Samaritans or whatever, but go after only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when those people said no, well, now we turn to the Gentiles. You know, be it known therefore unto you that salvation is now sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when they had said these things, you know, to the words and so forth, you know, told them the Jews. And Paul, verse 30, Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching all those things which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So even Paul spent all 2 years here talking about the kingdom of God, talking about Jesus Christ and so on. You know, so we're going to, in this series, figure out what all that preaching about the kingdom of God is all about. But today, I'm just showing you that, you know, both Jesus and the earliest group of disciples he had, and the early church, all of them preached about the kingdom of God. And also, more importantly, given the fact that, you know, when Jesus sent out his disciples first, this was the instruction he gave to them to preach the gospel of the kingdom, it is important for us to learn what it is. Jesus himself said, even as we read, I think it was maybe yesterday or even 2 days in this series, we've read it in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus said in verse 43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. So we see Jesus making reference to his mission as being about preaching the kingdom of God. All right. Well, a lot has been said about preaching the kingdom of God, and I don't want to sound like it's a cliche, Preach the kingdom, preach the kingdom, 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 kingdom. Now, what is it really? Well, that's what we are going to discover or rediscover in this series. You know, so far, you know, we have shown how it is important for us to hear, to see, in order to understand. And there is an understanding of this kingdom of God that is so important because it's been lost. And we're just carrying on here as if, you know, as if this is where we belong. But Jesus was praying that prayer in John 17 to the Father and said, look, they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world, and so on. And, you know, he started to pray the Father for them. He instructed them. He said, look, Father, as you have sent me, so have I sent you. And then later we see in chapter 20 of John, he talks to them in verse 21 and say, look, as my Father has sent me. Remember, Jesus said here in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, I am sent to preach the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, well, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So that means we are also sent to preach the kingdom of God. Now, in the early church, it looked different than what it looked now. In the early church, there were certain things they had to do and give witness to the resurrection of the Christ. Because Christ was crucified, many people didn't believe that he rose again from the dead. And so they had to do that. And they gave much power to the, you know, resurrection of Christ. You know, they gave power, they witnessed it by doing miracles, signs, and wonders. They preached the gospel, miracles, signs, and wonders followed. And then the people saw that, you know, these people were for real. Now, in our day, you know, I don't know if anybody is still arguing that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, but we got more to show, you know, how that, you know, technology is so advanced. People can get a lot of things. I mean, there's so much affluence in the world today. I heard the story of a very rich man. It's happened in Nigeria. It's a true story. It's not a parable. Very rich man, you know, one day the Lord visited him in his house. And he started to, you know, he started to desire to be with believers. He was not a believer. He was looking out, you know, for looking around for a good place of fellowship, a good church, you might call it that. You know how in the Bible they would say that even sometimes the angel of the Lord would tell them, you know, call for Peter, you know, told Cornelius and so forth. This man, the angel of the Lord put it on his heart that he should look for a good church where he could fellowship. And so he went to a few churches. You know, he got to the first one. He got in there after, you know, one or two visits. He got disgusted because all they were preaching was prosperity, prosperity, and prosperity, and all this stuff. And he was a very rich man already. He left that one, looked for another one. The same thing. They were just talking all these things. And then he went, you know, after a few months, he just gave up and went back to his house. True story, though. This is not a parable. So, you know, some of the pastors from some of these churches, at least one, they looked for him. And said, I mean, you were coming and we don't see you anymore. And he said to them, he said, look, you know, look around me here. See all my cars outside. See my house. See all my things and so forth. I already have these things that you guys were preaching, you know, and whatever you're preaching didn't get me these things. I got these things already before I started to look for the church. You know, but when I came, you were preaching all these things that I could have gotten and I got without the church. And so you have nothing to offer. I don't need to go there. You know, it's a true story. You know, so, and it reminded me when I heard that story of this thing that Jesus told Nicodemus. Look, you know, anything you can get without being born again, you didn't get it from the kingdom. You could have gotten it anyway. to get in the kingdom, you must be born again. And so this man was telling them, look, I got all these things before I came to look for you. And I came to look for my brethren, you know, and I thought, you know, you guys could have something to offer. But you are offering me the same things that I already got, even without being in the kingdom. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. What do we have to offer, you know, that the world doesn't already have? You know, now, so this is the challenge that we have today. The challenge that they had in the early church was, a lot of sickness, a lot of diseases, a lot of this and so forth. We have those today too. And then Jesus knew that, look, if you heal their sick, if you cleanse their lepers, you raise their dead, if you cast out their devils, you know, devils that are in them and so forth, you know, you get their attention. Okay. We need to analyze today what it is that the preaching of the gospel must do not to get people's attention. You can't tell them, you know, that, you know, you come into the kingdom, you're going to have cars and this and so forth. They already have those things. You know, and this man said, look, I already had those things. He said, look, you know, how many of these cars? Look, go outside and count my cars. You know, and they saw the cars when they came in. Look at here. Look at my house. Look at all these things. I have all these things. And you guys are telling me how to have these things. I already have these things. You need to tell me something that I don't have. You know, and he told them, you know, and there's a problem with the way the church is carrying out their so-called commission today. It's a problem. And we're going to do a deep dive into these things. Now, so, what then is the preaching of the gospel? We've seen how Jesus did it. We've seen how his disciples, you know, how he sent them out to do it. You know, but most of the times it's summarized, you know, just when preaching the kingdom of God. What exactly, you know, were they preaching? We're going to do a deep dive into that. What exactly does it look like today? Remember, I talked to you about, you know, a salesperson trying to convince somebody to buy what they are offering. And Jesus said, well, you're like that too. You know, but when you do it, you offer it freely. Now, let me talk to you also about offering something freely. Now, first of all, here's what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, he said, look, freely you have received and freely you give. Well, that's one point. But it also means that you cannot give what you don't have. First, you have received, then you give. This is what Jesus was pointing out. You received it, but it was free. So you give it freely. But there is a critical point here. The order, the sequence is you must receive first before you can give. That's the sequence. A lot of people jump out today, well, whether they receive anything from the Lord or not, we don't know. But they're trying to give what they don't have. You really cannot give what you don't have. First, you receive. Then, you give. But Jesus is saying, since you received it freely, which was first, make sure you also give it out freely, which is second. But it is important that you must receive and then you give. And now Paul himself, he taught this same principle of receiving and giving. And he said, look, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, writing a lot of things to these Corinthians, and he got to this point, he's trying to write now about, you know, the breaking of bread and communion and so forth. And he said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 23, for I have, you know, delivered unto you that which I also received of the Lord. That the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he began to tell them. But you see how he brought it. It's what I received that I delivered unto you. Now, so this is a concept that we are going to explore. You know, we must rediscover the kingdom concepts. I mean, concepts around the kingdom of God, in order for us to be able to give it out correctly and accurately. And I dare say, ladies and gentlemen, over the years, it has not been done accurately and it has not been done correctly. We have built churches and even mega churches, but yet the people are not satisfied. Like this story of the man I told you, I said, look, I have all these things. You know, and I came to your ministry and you're telling me how to get these things. But I already have them. You know, so that's not what I'm looking for. So he wasn't looking for that. He's looking for something more. Now, how do we then make sure we have the right stuff? You can call this thing the right stuff. How do you now make sure you have the right stuff so you can communicate the right stuff? You know, you cannot give what you don't have. So what then it means to us is we've got to seek to know the kingdom of God so that we will be able to communicate it. Now, so there must be a quest. There must be a yearning. There must be something in us to try to rediscover or discover for the first time if you don't know anything about it. And if you thought you did, rediscover the elements and the things concerning the kingdom. And that's what Jesus was teaching, couched in a way, in Matthew chapter 6. And let's read some parts of it. And then we're going to see what is not the kingdom, or the search for the kingdom, is not the search that we do in the material world. And that's the lesson that Jesus was teaching, recorded in Matthew chapter 6, recorded in, you know, a couple other places. But let's read this one in Matthew chapter 6. A very good discussion that Jesus gave here. He had been talking to them about, you know, how to do the right things, how to give alms the right way, not to be braggadocious and showing off. You know, do your alms before the Lord, let the Lord reward you, who sees you in secret, let him reward you openly. Even you do it, don't even let your left hand know your right hand. Talking about when you pray, don't stand in the corners and do all these things, you know, and just, you know, show off, you know. When you show off, he said, look, you have your reward. But, you know, if you want true reward from the kingdom, do it this way. And he was telling them, don't do these things before people. It's how you pray. And part of the prayer, you know, first few things that he said in the prayer, after he said, hallowed be thy name, the next thing is, thy kingdom come. You know, so after you come into the Lord, the presence of the Lord with worship and adoration and all the things, Jesus giving them a template for prayer here. The first thing in the prayer is, well, hallowed our Father, which art in heaven. So Jesus calling attention, trying to bring this relation. They didn't know how to call God their Father, except for Isaiah in one or two places. People never refer to God as their Father. In fact, they couldn't even call his name. And, you know, but Jesus came here and said, look, your Father. You know, he's trying to introduce that relationship, you know. So when you pray, go to him, you know, take advantage of that relationship. You're connecting in that relationship. You're not coming as a stranger. Paul wrote about these things also in the early chapters of the book of Ephesians. Say, look, you are no longer strangers. You know, don't come to God as though you are a stranger. You know, come to him as though he's your Father. So our Father, who art in heaven, you're just making a differentiation between your natural fathers and this, your heavenly Father. So our Father, we are in heaven. That's how you approach him when you pray. And then, you know, give honor and glory to him, Lord. We thank you. We glorify your name. We worship you for who you are. You know, go on and on and on. It's a template. So it's a condensed template. It doesn't mean that those are the only words you have to say. So people actually repeat this prayer as their prayer. When they say, let us pray, they say the so-called Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer. This was not the Lord's Prayer. You know, the Lord would not be asking, you know, for his sins to be forgiven. He had no sins. Forgive us our trespasses. This is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer for the disciples that Jesus taught them how to pray. And people say, oh, the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And some people don't know how to, some religions don't know how to pray. Other than just read this thing. They read their catechism. They read the Lord's Prayer. They read a few other things. That's all how they pray. But what is Jesus showing here is a condensed template. You go to the Lord in adoration. You relate to him, father, son, father, daughter relationship, you know, and so forth. Our Father who art in heaven. And then when after all of that, the next things out of the mouth of Jesus, thy kingdom come. Now, this is so important. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is the kingdom. You know, the kingdom is already in heaven. But God wants it to be established upon the earth. Jesus is saying, look, pray towards that. Let it be part of your daily prayer. Let us see the kingdom of God. Let us see the influence of the kingdom of God. Now, upon the earth. There is something that God told Job in the book of Job, chapter 38 and verse 33. And I want to read it to you. The question, many questions that God was asking Job. And saying, well, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when this happened, when this happened, when this happened? Do you know it? If you know it, gather up your loins like a man and talk to me. I will ask you, upon what things do I find, you know, fastening the foundation of the earth? What is the dimension thereof? Where were you when the, you know, morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? You know, you ask him all these things. And Job, he put his hand in his mouth. I don't know. I don't know any of these things. You know, so the Lord asked him this question in Job 38 and verse 33. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof? In other words, the dominion of these ordinances that are in heaven. Can you set their dominion upon the earth? And Job couldn't talk. Well, yeah. This is the secret of things. This is what Christ was talking about. Kingdom of heaven exists. Nothing happens in the heaven, in the spiritual kingdom, without an unction from the throne. That's it. They're always looking to the throne to see what, you know, it's an unction. What do we do next? You know, and so forth. You know, holy, 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 and all these things. Now, but the things that happen in heaven, God wants them to come to bear upon the earth. How things function in heaven. Everything's in order. Everything's about worshiping. Everything's righteousness. The scepter of thy throne is the scepter of righteousness. He wants the same on earth. And we are the ones that are supposed to make it happen. And Jesus is telling them, pray that it will come to pass, to be like that. That the ordinances of heaven will have their dominion upon the earth. Thy kingdom, which is a heavenly kingdom, let it come upon the earth. Let thy will, which is in heaven, which are the ordinances of heaven, let thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Those things that are already in place in heaven, let them also be set upon the earth. So the ordinances, so things happen first in heaven and that bring influence upon the earth. Even the dark world knows this. People in the dark world and the elements, the demonic spirits, the satanic altars, they know that things happen first in the spiritual realm. And that's how they sit upon everything. They sit upon everything in high places, which we need to dislodge. And then in the high places, you know, that's where they try to have dominion. They set things there. And so we must understand these things too. These things happen in heaven. Jesus said, pray that they happen in earth. Pray about the kingdom. This is the first thing. Even before you start to pray about our daily bread, our this and that, pray about the kingdom. So those are the things that Jesus was teaching them to pray. And then after that, he began to tell them, back to Matthew chapter 6, he began to tell them, look, don't be focused on these things. Run around. Father, give me this. Father, give me that. Father, give me this. Father, give me that. Or run around this. Look, your Father already knows that you have need of these things. Did you know that us believers today, you know, most of our prayer is about what the Lord can give us, what we can get. My promotion, my job, my this, my that, you know. All those things are good. And we must pray those things. Like we are on the earth and we are dealing with these things and we must pray those things. You know, but, you know, when then are we going to seek the kingdom if our focus is all about these other things? And so Jesus began to tell them, look, the fowls of the air, you know, the lilies of the valley and all these things, you know, look, they don't toil, they don't spin, but even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed. Look, God can clothe the grass that's in the field, he told them. Today, they're in the field, tomorrow they're casting fire. How much more you have little faith? You know, you'd be so consumed by these things. Those things are not kingdom. And did you know that people who are filled with the Holy Spirit are speak with tongues? There is no difference most of the time between our prayer and the prayer of the unbelievers. The only difference is the same things that the unbelievers are chasing, we are chasing the same things with speaking in tongues. When you speak in tongues for hours, praying about, you know, some natural thing, some promotion that you are needing, and some other things, and, you know, speaking in tongues, you're just trying to use speaking in tongues to get the same things that the Holy Spirit, I mean, that the using the Holy Spirit, so to speak, to try to get the same things that you were trying to get before you received the Holy Spirit. What then is the difference? You know, if these are the things that the people of the world are chasing after, and we say we are in the kingdom, and we're always praying the same things, what is the difference then? In this series, we're going to learn what the difference is. In fact, how those who are in the kingdom should really be praying. The kind of prayer. We'll see some of the things that Jesus taught us, and we'll see some of the things that the apostles taught us, you know, and so forth. And we'll see how the things that we're chasing after that are giving us anxiety, how that, you know, we should handle that. For instance, Paul said, look, be anxious for nothing. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, he understands that you have requests. Just put it to God, but with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And look, don't be anxious for anything. And what does the next verse say right after that? Verse 7 of Philippians 4. Did he say, oh, you know, as soon as you pray, you know, then, you know, God will jump up and do all these things? No, he said, look, the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds at rest. He's talking about your prayers, things that will trouble you. Instead of you always, you know, being so, you know, I mean, frantic about everything, God will give you peace. In fact, God will show you, we even show it in this series, God will show you how to get those things, you know, that you are chasing. God wants you to be able to do those things. The things that are saying, God, do this for me, do this thing, do this thing. You know, you, yourself, can do those things when you know how to come in the kingdom. When you know how to understand the ordinances of the kingdom. When you know the concept of the kingdom, how they can bear rule upon the earth, you will be able to actually do those things yourself that you are praying for God to do. This is not fallacy or blasphemy. Jesus said it the same thing. When he sent them out, he didn't tell them to pray. He said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. He didn't say pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Do all these things. You know, when you know how to function, and the way it actually works is when we have all the darkness expunged, when your heart is full of light, when your life is all light and there's no darkness in there at all you have to do is tell the sick to get up and they will get up. It's that simple. The light that is in you is what is going to conquer the world. You know, and that's the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And we're going to bring, you know, those things. And the evidence will show as we go through this, that this is what God intended, you know, for us, where we want to be. So Jesus finally said, look, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? And so forth. Said, look, after these things, for after these things do the Gentiles seek. Those who are outside the kingdom, that's what they are seeking after. And so the search, the quest for those things, that's not the search for the kingdom. The quest for prosperity, the quest for, you know, promotion, the quest for what shall I eat, what shall I wear, my next car, my next rent, my next this, my next that. The quest for all those things, that's not the quest for the kingdom. But Jesus turned around and said, but seek ye first the kingdom. But what is the kingdom then? Tell us already. Just like Philip said, look, you're always telling us about the Father. You're making us to pray to the Father. You're telling us that you came from the Father. You're telling us that you can't do anything about the Father. But you've never for one day shown us the Father. Show us the Father already. You know, and all this mystery about the Father, we will be okay. And my goodness, John chapter 14, verse 8. And Jesus said, wow, all this time I've been with you, yet you don't know me. You know, yeah, that's it. And so a lot of people that have been claiming to be in the kingdom, yet they don't understand the kingdom. You know, so what is it then? Well, because we who are supposed to be teaching it, we're just using cliches. We're not really exposing and expanding and teaching it. We're just using cliches because we don't even understand it. You know, so, but we're going to break it down in this series and understand what it means to seek the kingdom of God. You know, seek it. You may already be in there. If you are already in there through being born again, once you are born again, you are there. Then why should you still seek it? Well, because there are a lot of things for you to discover. So that's what we're going to do in this series. Discovering, you know, seeking something is for you to find something out, you know, to be able to discover something. What are the things that we need to discover about the kingdom? Why is it that Jesus would tell people who are already in the kingdom to seek the kingdom? Well, because there are things to be discovered. Because they came into the kingdom without understanding what the kingdom is all about. They are in there quite all right, because as long as you are born again, you are in the kingdom. But you don't know what's yours. You don't know how to function. You don't know how to behave. You don't know what to expect. You don't understand the unction of the kingdom. There's a lot of things we don't understand. But Jesus said, well, these are the things you must seek. Even the righteousness of God. We don't understand the righteousness of God. You know, we look at righteousness some other way. You know, but how will we show me thy way, O Lord, that I may know thee? That's why we did the Knowing the Lord series. How do I understand the things that God wants us to do in the kingdom? Take no thought for tomorrow. Well, all of us take thought for tomorrow. What am I going to do? When am I going to do that? Jesus said, look, that's not kingdom. In the kingdom, just know that God's going to take care of that. You take care of the kingdom business, God will take care of your business. That's what Jesus is saying. So that's our lesson for today, ladies and gentlemen. We have shown, let me summarize what I told you. We have shown that today's lesson was about preaching the kingdom of God. We've shown that Jesus, when he started out, that's what he preached. We've shown that when he called his disciples to send them out, that's what he told them to preach. We've shown throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles how the early church, Philip, many others, how they preached the kingdom and how they demonstrated it with power, you know, and with healing the sick and doing all these things that they did. You know, so we've shown all of that. And we've shown that we also must do the same. Now, we have also shown that Jesus is telling us to seek the kingdom. We have also mentioned the fact that, look, we really can't give what we don't have. So in order for us to be able to give out the secrets of this kingdom, we ourselves must know those secrets. We must know those benefits. And we must be first partakers, actually enjoying them. And then we can be a reflection. And then people will want to know, want to have what we have. You know, so then we must go on to seeking the kingdom then. Because Jesus is telling us to seek the kingdom. People are preaching, saying they are preaching the kingdom. And what is it all about? Let's go on to seek the kingdom. And in the next few lessons, we're going to talk about that. What the kingdom is not, and what the kingdom might be. What the Lord wants us to seek, what he doesn't want us to seek. We will also be talking about, you know, the concept of the church and the kingdom. How people have viewed the church. You know, versus, you know, how God talks about the church and the kingdom. You know, so we're going to be talking about those things. So we want you to stay tuned by the grace of God and come on in from time to time and join us and fellowship with us. So seeking and rediscovering the kingdom of God is coming next by the grace of God. And what are some of those things that we need to understand? How do the citizens of the kingdom who are now part of the kingdom through being born again, what do they have? Or what should they have that others might not have who are not in the kingdom? And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the role of the church. We're going to look at the higher class of citizens, which is an ambassador. And, you know, how that Jesus, the number one ambassador for the kingdom, how he did it. And what we ourselves should be doing now. We're going to look at all of these things. And so by the grace of God, at the end of these lessons, you should know a few things. You should now have understanding of what the kingdom is. For Jesus said, have you now understood these things? He asked them. We should know and understand what it is that God wants us to seek after. And we should be enjoying these things and knowing how to represent them to others. We should know that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. At the end of this series, we should know these things. And we should know what makes a difference in how the kingdom of God is different from all other kingdoms. We should know that the kingdom of God is here now, you know, and it is, you know, we have a responsibility to do certain things. And the things, you know, it's not apparent yet because we're not doing our part, you know. That's why, the presence of the kingdom of God is not fully felt yet. Because those who are supposed to be the agents, you know, to bring this in, they're not doing it right. And so God will show us and God will help us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's lesson. We give you the praise and give you the glory. We thank you for all that we have said, all that we have done, all that we have spoken. We pray that our eyes will see the things that you want us to see. That our ears will hear the things that you want us to hear, and that our heart will understand. Jesus said, they have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but you have revealed them unto the babes. Scripture says that these things, you know, that's not, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has they been understood by men, but God has revealed them to us. We pray, Lord, that our eyes will see, our ears will hear, and that our hearts will understand. So go through this series. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.